say that the Spirit of God is going to move in the house and that you came prepared to receive the word from God. Amen. My name is Ronnie Jacobs. I'm humbling you one. Ngamba nomuntuam. Smart Satsasam. My queen. A princess in her mother's castle. A queen in my castle. The daughter of the Most High God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you. I'm Gugu Jacobs, and today in this Women's Month, I am tagging with my bestie. And you would know besties fight, right? If you have a bestie, you know this is one person that there's always one reason to fight about. Amen. Amen. I'm really honored to be serving with him today. And I'm really honored. We are really honored to have been afforded the opportunity. Let's pray before we start. I am really, really, really anxious right now. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor, O God. Thank you for this time, O God. You knew about this time long before we did. Now come, Moyo Ngcwele, bese wenza ngendlela yakho. Baba, I plead the blood of Jesus over ourselves, over your children, O God, that everything that you are to speak this moment, that Heavenly Father, it is received. Watch over your word to perform its intended purpose. Now, in the name of Jesus, ngiqalekisa yonke imimoya eze ukuzomelana nomsebenzi kaNkulunkulu. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, O God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. It's such a powerful moment, you know. I'm not preaching. I'm just going to be standing here and look handsome. She's going to be preaching. Hallelujah. So I just pray that it's going to be interactive so that we follow what the Word of God says in the Bible. We shouldn't only be hearers of the Word, but we should also be doers of the Word. Amen. So the more you press, the more you receive, hallelujah, and the more it comes out from us, hallelujah, amen. That's what we believe. So it should be interactive. So now, as I start my reading, child of God, you need to understand that God, is there any bad in God? Is there any bad in God? Is there any bad in the Holy Spirit? Is there any bad in the Son? So everything that God does is good, all the time. God is all the time. Amen. I'm reading from the book of Genesis this morning. Hallelujah. Just to lay the foundation. Amen. So now in the book of Genesis chapter 1, this is what Lord, God always has a purpose for each and every one of us. Amen. And what God does is he never reveals the whole purpose. He never reveals the whole blueprint. Hallelujah. He gives us snippets of where he's taking us. You see, sometimes because we always expect God to give us the whole picture, we get despondent along the way. And God is saying, not yet, hallelujah. Because if God has given us his whole blueprint, would you still be listening to God? Would you want to follow God? Amen. Now, in the book of Genesis, we're talking about the creation. It says in the first day, God created the light and the darkness, and so it was. On the second day, God created the sky, and he saw. On the third day, God created the dry land, the seas, the plants, and the trees, and he saw it was. On the fourth day, God created the sun, the moon, and the stars, and so it was. On the fifth day, God created the creatures and the sea of the sea, and the creatures that fly, and so it was. On the sixth day, God created the animals that live on the earth. And finally, God created man. I just need to pause there because I want it to be drummed into our minds, because sometimes we tend to forget who we are in Christ, why God created us, hallelujah. Firstly, God created every other thing that we needed. It means that God has already gone before me and you to give us everything that we need, hallelujah. We just need to be still in his presence, hallelujah. Now, before God created man, there was a congregation, hallelujah. There was a meeting. God says, let us make man in our. Now you need to know, when God is saying our, it is plural. He says, let us make man in our image. Amen. So that means for me, we are not made in the image of the angels. We are made in the image of God the Father, who is good. We are made in the image of God the Son, who is good. And we are made in the image of God the Holy Spirit, which is good. Hallelujah. Now that tells me that when God made me a new child of God, he made us good and perfect. There is no bad in God. And his plans are never bad. Hallelujah. Now, when we were planning this is one of my hardest services that I had to plan, because then we plan, then I give her the laptop and then she gives it to me, and then you know the preacher in me says, don't change. Amen. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, after God created man, after God said every other thing is good, Genesis 2 verse 18, God says, and the Lord God says, now this is in the next chapter, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Many a times we've heard this scripture that it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper. But when you read the underlying message there, God says, I will make him a helper that is comparable to him. That is the most important part, and that is the most important part that we miss as men. Hallelujah. And this is the first time that God is saying that something is not good. What God is saying is man is not complete without his woman. Hallelujah. So whatever you do not have, God will give you somebody that is comparable to you, that will fulfill the purposes of God. God will give you someone that is equivalent to your quality, worthy of comparison, your strongest match, someone that God intended for you, someone that is suitable to the task that God has ordained for you, someone that is a companion to help men fulfill their destinies here on earth when it is God ordained. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes even the devil knows what God has ordained for me and you, especially the man, hallelujah. And it is his purpose to make sure that we do not walk into the purpose or whatever God has ordained for us, child of God. So whatever you are facing this morning, and I'm talking to the man this morning, that stay in the fire. I've been from the beginning of January, God has been saying, stay in the fire. Then we have men like Pastor Adrian that feel like we are giving up, hallelujah. We can't take this walk anymore. Then he just gives you a call and say, there's nothing wrong with your faith. Pastor A, I did not take that lightly. When you are facing the storms of life and somebody picks you up, he says, if there was anything wrong with your faith this morning, you would have hit the bottle. You are far stronger than that. Thank you, Pastor A. My wife always mentions to me that sometimes I'm not aware why God brought her in my life. Yes, I do not know why God has brought her in my life. But every day I'm finding out. Every day there's something new that God reveals to me about her, and it goes vice versa. Every day she learns about me. I pray this morning in the mighty name of Jesus that God will open every man's eye in this auditorium to know why God has given you that specific person that you are sitting next to. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Now, indeed, every creation is to the glory of God, and we know that he has created us for his own glory. Therefore, our lives continues to bring glory to God. Our lives are meaningless if they not lived for God. Now, in the book of Matthew 10:38-39, it says, "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Amen. 39 says, "He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Sorry. Now in August is we are celebrating Women's Month, and our theme is the way of the brave. When we were preparing, the Bible presents so many women who were brave in their lifetime, and for the fact that we're still reading about them tells it all. One of the many women, who has been brave, that stands out for me, especially lines up with the theme of the way of the brave, is found in our famous book of First Samuel, 1:1-8. We all know the story of Peninnah and Hannah. We have listened to sermons and have read the book probably one too many times. Now, I will not read the whole book in the interest of time. I will, however, read from 4-8. 1 Samuel 1:4-8. "And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord has closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord has closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat." She wept and did not eat. 8. "Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?'" I bless the reading of God's word. Now, when you look at Peninnah and Hannah, they were both married to Elkanah to fulfill a purpose. I believe their story still ministers, and it is relevant to many women in this day and age. Because women go through a lot of adversity, whether you're single or you are married. When we were preparing, I woke up around the AMs. Already the scripture was on my mind. And the only thing that the Holy Spirit said to me, "Hannah and Peninnah coexist in this day." Hannah is a woman I find myself drawn into, especially when I go through my valley. She was not only brave, but she also lived a purposeful life, a life that glorified God. Now, we grew up singing a song, a well-known song. I see it's phasing out now. Watinda bafazi, watinda imbokodo. Today, women are changing because of the many adversities that they're going through, and women have decided that they want a soft life and they are demanding to be treated soft. And honestly, I'm for it and I understand it. But I want to bring it to you that in the kingdom of God, as women, we are called to be tough in the spirit. The word of God says, "We wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age. And let me tell you, Satan plays dirty. Hannah was in great distress because she could not bear children for her husband. The Bible says, because the Lord had closed her womb. But the Bible also does not tell us if Hannah knew that God has closed her womb. Hannah was wrestling against the principalities and not flesh and blood. The Bible says, year in and year out, they went to the mountain to pray, and her adversary would mock her and make her miserable. How many of you relate to this story? In her mind, she had a problem she could not conceive. Little did she know that it was a call of God. There is something about the call of God that will make you unsettled, that will make you go through pain. The call of God demands of us that we get separated from us. It demands a rebirth, and therefore it is important to be able to discern. So now when you as a woman are going through your stuff, it's important to not personalize it and understand and discern what is the enemy trying to do here. Amen. Peninnah mocked her, made her miserable, but Hannah persisted. She prayed. It is not written in the Bible where Hannah confronted Peninnah. I know I would have. I would have taken her out. I would have done everything I could to defend myself, because I mean, I did not cause myself to be infertile. I would have engaged, but the Bible does not make note of that. Peninnah did not confront Hannah. She stayed in prayer. She stayed in prayer. The Bible does not record that, but it only records that she prayed. And it is also noted that she made utterances that could not be heard. The priest even misunderstood that for drunkenness. This could have been a type and shadow of tongues that were born out of Hannah because of her pain. Hannah went to the secret place. She went to where things are born. She went to a place where things are changed. She went to a place where a paradigm gets shifted. That's where she went to. She did not talk. She did not say anything. She went to a secret place. She went there to cast down the arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now it happens in our lives as women, married and unmarried, that when we go through things, we post on status, we get depressed, you know, we say all sorts of things. You know, we personalize this as if there's no God. I can just imagine the pressure that she felt. You know, your adversary is busy, you know, on your case. I can't imagine how the community was also receiving her, how the community was treating her, the families, how they were treating her. For the fact that it was a problem, there must have been an expectation in that time for a woman to give birth. It is better for you and me today, because we can still make that choice and it's still acceptable. But she could not make a choice. There was just one choice and one choice alone: to bring down every argument of the enemy and bring forth the word of God. Hallelujah. Now, it says in the book of 1 Samuel, verse 8, it says, then, you know, Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? You know, listening to that word, I'm easily assuming that the husband was trying to, you know, remove the stress of her and trying to remove even the pressure. But there's something about the call of God. There is something about the call of God. Not even his comforting words could bury the seed that was inside of her. Not even the adversary could bury the seed that was inside of her. You know, this particular verse, especially when her husband, I mean, if your husband, the very person that you really want to give children to, is saying, don't worry about it. He's saying, it's okay, don't worry about it. It almost reminds me of the time when Jesus Christ said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for you do not understand the things of the kingdom. You are an offense to me. Now, it's easy as a woman, when you are going through your stuff, to bury it because it's difficult. It's easy for us not to do it because we're exonerated by our gender. Aren't we weak? It's easy. The husband is saying, no pressure. It's okay. But the seed could not take it any longer. The seed knew it had to be born because Hannah was not just carrying a child, just a child. She was carrying a prophet. It's understandable why it cost her. It had to cost her. It had to cost her. The call of God is very expensive. Now I'm saying to you, if you are a married woman and you have discerned from God what God wants out of your husband's life, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. Now, the one thing that I really, really would ask of you to do is to discern and not personalize that pain. And I'm really not saying men must treat us bad because of the call of God. When it's the call of God, you would know nothing matters but the call of God. We have so many stories to share. We faced situations that pushed us into that secret place. We walked on waters, but did not drown. We walked through the fires, but we did not burn. Just to give that seed and give God the glory. Hallelujah. In fulfilling the purpose that God has called us for, it's important to not let Penina in your life fool you into giving up. Now, when you look at the priest, we trust our priests, right? We trust our pastors. We go to our pastors. Every time there's something, you go to your pastor. But when there's a call of God, that is between you and your God. Note that the priest did not even understand. He thought she was drunk. Because God has not revealed it to him. And this seed, it was important for her to be in that space where it feels so lonely. No one understands you. Your husband doesn't understand. Your sister wife is not helping. Family is not understanding. Community is not understanding. Friends are not understanding. It is important because it is only that situation that can push you to your secret place. Now, you would have listened, most of you would have listened to my daughter speaking and telling her story. Now, you don't wake up every day of your life hoping to hear bad things about your children. It takes you to a different place. It calls for a different leveling up. It causes and calls you to brave up. It tells you that it is not about you. I took it too hard when I learned what my daughter went through, when I learned that she went through rape. I could not pray for a very, very long time. I did not give up on God, but I was just not on speaking terms with God. There was really nothing I could say to him. He says in his word, he watches over his word to perform its intended purpose, meaning God had promised me. I got saved around 2010. And it was that time when it happened to her. And it was also that time when I said, I am giving them to you. I had a reason why I had to give and dedicate my children to God. I was raised from a background where we appeased ancestors. So when God saved me, he saved me. And I took my children with. And I gave them to God. And it was also that time that I felt so failed by God. Later, when I learned about that, I could not pray. I could not pray. I was that Christian that would come to church and just jump around like everybody else and feel nothing for God. And I'll tell him as well, I feel nothing for you, but I'm here. It is also through God's grace that he is the one that sent his word to heal me. Amen.
Amen.
Now, any of you who would have a discussion or an engagement with Kentani, you would understand. She's such an amazing child.
Amen.
Her EQ, I think, before I engage with her, I have to level up when I speak to that child. She has an amazing revelation of the Word of God. When I dedicated my daughter to my children to God, I knew the call of God. I saw a different kind of light over her life. And I knew that I do not have capacity to manage whatever God is doing because I didn't even know what that was. But I decided to give her to God. And when I did that, God has made a promise. My reason in my valley where I couldn't even talk to God, it was standing on that word. God made a promise to me. He said, I would raise your children with my own hand. It is only now when God has then later, you know, revived me and healed me that I understood that this is a Penina that is trying to keep my daughter down because of this word, this call, this seed that is buried inside of her. And I know for a fact that it's just a matter of time that that seed cannot take to be inside any longer. And it will take everything of God to come out of her. I've been in the valleys way more than too many times. I thought at some point, God always chooses me. I'm sitting one day, my son says to me, he's been in trouble at school for quite some time. And he comes, he tells me that he doesn't think school is for him. And I look at this tiny thing and I'm like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine coming to tell me that in grade 6 you don't think school is for you? What the? I am that parent that releases fivefold very, very quick. I may seem very quiet, but I release it very, very quick. I was very, very short at releasing it because I saw it. You know, sometimes it does work. It fixes things. I was very, very short, and for some reason I couldn't. I understood that some of these things, they are not a table talk discussion. Some of these things, they want you to go to your secret place and destroy that snake. As if that was enough, it was not long that we got married. Myself and Pastor Ronnie got married. And You know, when you're still cutting, you try and change things, change his lifestyle. If you form Khelek style, you would know that this is a changed man. I don't know what you know about him, but I'd rather not know. The dress sense, the speech, how he did things, he had testified before. I'm not going to go into that. But we had endless fights that I questioned God. I said, God, I told you, I don't want to get married. Why did you bring me here? And the fights were because there's a call on him. And God showed me. God said to me in his drunken state, he couldn't even stand properly. I'm prayed up. I'm busy in tongues. And he comes in after hours and I'm ready to give it to him. And God, the Holy Spirit says, don't talk to my servant like that. And I'm like, what? A servant? This guy, he can't even stand up for himself and you call him a servant. But I understood that I'm on duty. I understood that it was not personal. I understood that it was more for him, for God, than for me. I understood that there's something that God has said to me. He said, will you lose a fight that has, a battle that has been already won? And I knew it was God. I understood it was God. And when I'm trying, now I'm understanding, I'm crying, I'm sobbing, like, God, how could you? I'm busy praying, I'm taking good care of myself, I'm doing everything right. This guy is drinking himself nuts, but you call him your servant. From that day, I called him man of God. I remember in that week, I'm like, I don't remember what he was saying, but I was getting upset and I remembered what God said. And I said, man of God, you do not speak like that. And then he stopped and he said to me, I see what you're trying to do. I see what you're trying to do. Ufuna ukungenza isthiba. Ufuna ukungenza imugo. You want to tell me to be like those guys who are wearing jackets and have their Bibles like they are crazy. I don't know what he has to say today. Now I want to say, I don't know what your Hannah experience is today. But I also want to tell you, to bring to this. It was actually interesting for me to see this. Penina was making Hannah miserable. She was making Hannah miserable to a point that she could not eat. She would cry day in and day out. But what I found out about Penina was broken. Can you imagine being made miserable by a broken person? By an uncircumcised Philistine that does not know the plans of God. Now understand, Penina was neglected by her husband. Her husband did not love her enough. Her husband made her jealous because he gave all the attention to Hannah. Would you not be jealous? Would you not make somebody else miserable? You know, today it may not be another Hannah. But maybe your husband is too busy. Maybe your husband is focusing on other things other than you. Don't miss the mark. Understand the call of God. Get into the Holy of Holies, and God will let you be victorious.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now look at me now rocking that suit, eh? Amen. That is what God will do to you. I think nowadays when I go back to Gelukza, my old schoolmates and people that I grew up with would say, "So, sure, you're a pastor now." I know. But if God can do that for you, He can do that for me as well. Now, where was Elkanah in all of this since we've heard the message? Was he even aware what was happening in his own house? The pain and the suffering that his wife was enduring. Sometimes we close our eyes to the pain in the house. Because when you're in a fight, you got two options. It's fight or flight. But now, when you're in flight mode, that's in the devil's territory. Because there's a lot of things that will be broken when you start flighting, when you start running. But when you stop to fight, you are in God's territory, because God says, "I will hold you up with my right victorious hand. You will be victorious." We were singing earlier on that victory belongs to Jesus. You were confessing it. If you believe that, you should continue confessing it. God, there's nothing that is impossible with you. I am testimony to that. Hallelujah. Now, child of God, there is so much more that we wanted to say with regard to that. But because of time, I just want to skip to this. Genesis 3 verse 9. We're going back to the Garden of Eden. After everything happened and God created it, in Genesis 3 verse 9, this is what God says. In the previous chapter, it says, "It is God that took man and placed him in the Garden of Eden." That talks about positioning. Men were positioned so that God could deliver the vision to the man. You don't hear me? Amen. Let me tell you. If God wants to fulfill a purpose and the man does not activate that vision, God will raise his wife. God will raise his children so that a purpose could be fulfilled in that bloodline. Because that is the God that we serve. Now quickly, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" I like that, because when God was asking Adam, "Where are you?" It's not as if God did not know, because God had already positioned him. God already knew where he was. Hallelujah. But what God is saying in simple terms is God saying to Adam, "Why did you leave your place? Why did you forsake the vision?" God is an omnipresent God, omnipotent, all-knowing, omniscient. That is the God that we serve. Now listen, child of God. I'm speaking to the visionaries. The word of God says, "Why did you leave your place?" But I'm saying, when we lead diligently as Adams, it makes it easier for our Eves to submit. Amen. Not only to submit, but to bring forth so that we can fulfill the purpose that God has rightfully called us to do. I could have remained in the situation that I was. But now I know why God gave me somebody that is comparable to me.